I just want to talk to you about peace in the storms and battles. Peace in the storms and battles. And I want to go to two passages of Scripture. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 8. Let's begin with Deuteronomy chapter 7, one verse, and that is verse 9. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant with steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations." And I really want to emphasize just those three words, the faithful God. The beloved God is faithful. You know, he says in the book of Revelations, he calls himself by the name of faithful and true. That the only way the Lord can present himself to his people is in his faithfulness. It's impossible for God not to be faithful to his people. He is our faithful God. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Verse 23 begins, "And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the wind, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, 'Save us, Lord. Do you not care that we are perishing?' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?'" There's the issue. "Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, 'What sort of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him?'" Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would take this word, and I believe there are just people here this morning that just need to hear those words. Peace be still. Peace be still. That the waves of fear and the winds of doubt that are raging in our hearts, God, we would just hear your words. Peace be still today, Lord. And God, I just thank you for your goodness. And I thank you for the power that's in your word, that even the winds and the waves have to obey your word. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The more I walk with God, the longer that I walk with God, I just become more and more convinced that God wants his people to live in his peace. That God wants his people to live in his rest, even in a trouble-filled, problem-filled world. You know, Jesus said in his word, he said, "In this world you will have tribulations and troubles and trials, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world." That, beloved, tribulations, troubles, and trials are going to invade our lives, much like a storm upon the seas. But if you know anything about a storm on a sea, if you know anything about a stormy sea, the storm only rages at surface level. The storm only rages on the surface. If you go down to the ocean floor, it's just as peaceful and tranquil and still and quiet as if there was no storm going on at all. In the very deep places, even though the storm is raging at surface level, there's a peace and there's a tranquility and there's a calmness down in those deep places. And though the winds and the waves may rage on the surface of our lives, deep in our hearts, there can be an underlying peace and quietness in our hearts because our hearts are at rest with God. That whatever storms are raging in the surface levels of our life, in those deep inner places with God, there can be a peace and there can be a rest and there can be a tranquility because our hearts are at rest in our God. And I believe what causes our hearts to rest is the assurance of God's faithfulness. That God's faithfulness is unfailing. He will not fail us. That God's faithfulness over our lives is a tremendous faithfulness that covers our adversities and covers our troubles and covers our problems and covers all our trials. And it also covers our own failings and mistakes and our own blunders. Beloved, when we love God and our desire is to live a life that honors God, God is so much bigger than our troubles and our trials, and He is so much bigger than our own failings and our own mistakes. His faithfulness in our lives is so much bigger. Now, going back to Matthew chapter 8, the disciples are struck by a storm. And I believe this storm can represent troubles that strike our lives that we have absolutely no control over. These disciples suddenly found themselves in a storm that they had absolutely no control over. They had no power over. And beloved, there are just going to be times when trials and adversities and hardships and problems are going to invade our lives. And we have absolutely no control on what's going on. But the Lord wants us to come to a place that where we just know in our hearts that God is faithful. And when I'm not in control, God is in control. And there's a rest and there's a peace that we can have in the heart, even though the storm is raging at surface level. And the winds and the waves are beating upon the boat at surface level, deep in the deep places of our heart. We can have a peace and we can have a rest and we can have assurance because even though I'm not in control, my God is in control. Amen. You know, the first day when I teach my Pentateuch class, and everyone will probably remember this, when we actually get into the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of Moses, the very first place I like to start is Genesis 1:1 because there's no other obvious place to start. Got to start at the beginning. And Genesis 1:1 tells us that God is creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God is creator. That's an old truth that stuck with me a long time because it's just such a very powerful truth. God is the creator of all things. And we talk about how God is the creator of big things. That in our one galaxy alone, there's estimated to be over 4 billion stars. And the book of Isaiah tells us that God actually hung each star in space with the span of his hand, and he actually calls each star by name. Now, that's very big. Would you say that's big? That's pretty big. God's the creator of big things. But he's not only the creator of big things, but he's the creator of little things. You know, it's estimated that there are over 60 very tiny, minute blood cells in the human body. So small you can't even see them, up to a trillion blood cells. And listen, God created them all. That God is also the creator of small things. So we see God's the creator of big things and God's the creator of small things. So we have to ask a question, well, why is that so important that we know that? Because it's God who created big things and it's God who created small things. He is the God who gave us the gracious invitation, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. And I really want to emphasize that word, all. He says, cast all your cares upon me. In other words, he's saying, all your big problems, cast them on me. All your very little problems, cast them on me. Your big problems and your little problems, all your cares, cast them on me. No matter how big they are, no matter how little they are, I want them. You weren't made to carry your cares all by yourself. It doesn't matter how big or how small they are. And so the question that comes to my mind when I think about him being the creator of big things and little things, and he says, cast all your cares upon me, then the question that comes to my heart is simply this. What problem are you carrying that's too big for God? And let's go on the flip side. What problem in your life do you think is so small and so insignificant? How could God possibly care about this? God says, no, I'm a creator of big things and I'm a creator of small things, and I invite you to cast all your cares upon me. No matter how big they are, no matter how little they are, cast them upon me because I care for you. Amen. Going back to my point, what are the things going on in your life that you have absolutely no control over? The Lord is saying, cast them upon me. Give them to me. Bring them to me. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So God is saying, bring these issues you have no control over to me. Come in prayer and say, God, I have no control of this, so I'm just going to give it over to you and trust you with it. God, there's nothing I can do. There's absolutely nothing I can do in this problem, in this trouble, in this adversity. There's nothing that I can do. So I'm just going to bring it to you. I'm just going to release it to you and just trust you with it, because you're the one that told me to give it to you in the first place. And when we do this, the peace of God that surpasses understanding is supposed to fill our hearts. It's supposed to. When we bring our problems to the Lord and say, God, I just give it to you, I release it to you, it says the peace that surpasses understanding is supposed to fill our hearts. And I think the reason why we don't fully come into that peace that surpasses understanding is because we don't fully give these things over to the Lord. We still want to hold on to them with one hand. Can I just say that? I mean, this peace that's supposed to fill our hearts, I think a lot of times we don't experience this peace. It's because we want to give the Lord our problems and release them to Him, but yet we still want to hold on to them with one hand. You know, we bring our problems and our trials and our adversity to the Lord, and we say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. The Lord, I have no control. I have no power over it, but you said that you are my faithful God, and to cast it to you and to trust you with it. So God, I'm bringing it to you. And it's at that moment, it's the Lord says, okay, now I'm going to take it. So he reaches down to take it, and he lays hold of our problem, our adversity, and he's taking it. And as he's trying to take it, we still got one hand on it. And the Lord is saying, let it go, release it, give it over to me. You can trust me with it. I am your faithful God. I'm the maker of big things. I'm the maker of little things. Cast all your cares upon me. You know, you can trust me with it. And as God is trying to take it, we still want to hold on to it with one hand. And sometimes we experience that peace when we just finally fully let it go. Fully release it. Fully let God have it. God is saying, would you just let it go? Would you just release it to me? Would you just fully trust me with it? My name is faithful and true. You can trust me with it. But with one hand, we still want to hold on to it. And instead of experiencing His peace, we continue to live in fear and frustration because we just won't let it go. Amen. Amen. And I feel this morning, the Lord is saying, that thing that you're holding on to, let it go. Trust me with it. And let it go. You know, this wasn't in my notes. I wasn't going to share it, but I'm just going to share it with you. The Lord spoke to me in a dream one time. And in this dream, I'm flying an airplane. And I look around and I find out it's not any old airplane. It's a bomber. I'm flying a bomber. And in my heart, I'm going, wow, look at this. I'm flying a bomber. And I look out the side and I see other bombers flying by me. And I'm like, I figured out, wow, I am in World War II. Flying a B-17 bomber. Awesome. And about the time I got the word awesome out of my mouth, my bomber got struck by an enemy shell. And suddenly, my bomber goes into a dive and is racing toward the ground. And such a fear gets into my heart. I'm telling you, a horrible fear gets in my heart. And I'm fighting with the controls, trying to pull that plane back up, trying to get the plane to ascend and pull out the dive. And I can't do it. And suddenly God speaks to me. He says, Tim, let go of the control. And I say, God, I can't let go of the control. I can't let go of the control. Don't you understand? My bomber is fixing to crash and burn. I got to get this plane back in the air. And I'm fighting with the control. And God speaks to me, just let go of the control. I said, God, I can't let go of the control. You see what's happening? And God says, will you just let go of the control? And finally, when I realize it's too late and I have no other choice, I say, okay. And I just throw my hands up in the air like this. And it's as if an invisible hand reached into the cockpit, got the control, and started pulling back on it. Because as soon as I let go of control, the airplane began to ascend. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he says, Tim, there are so many things you're trying to control that you just need to let go of. So many adversities and problems that you're just trying to work out in your own strength and in your own understanding and in your own wisdom. And they're not working out in your own strength. They're not working out in your wisdom. In fact, you're just making it worse. And all you need to do is just let go and let God. And I believe one of the biggest things that keeps our hands from releasing things to the Lord is fear. It's our fear that paralyzes our grip and keeps our grip around the controls because we're afraid. What's going to happen? Is God really going to fix this? Is he really going to work it out? And we're afraid to let go. But I feel the Lord is saying to some people this morning, you have practically exhausted your strength trying to fix your problems, and they're only getting worse. Now will you finally just let go? And just trust me with it and give it into my hands and release it to the Lord and just trust that I will be your faithful God. However this turns out, it will be my faithfulness that triumphs. Would you just let go? Amen. Do you hear what the Lord is saying this morning? Do you hear what the Lord is saying this morning? Amen. Amen. I want to look at another story. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Look with me at verse 15. It says, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, my master, what shall we do? And Elisha said, don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, oh, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Let's just keep this simple. In our story here, the enemy is after Elisha. The enemy wants Elisha's head on a platter. He wants Elisha dead. And so the king over the enemy finds out where Elisha is, and he says, aha, I got him. So he mounts up his army, and they go to the dwelling place of Elisha, and they surround the dwelling place of Elisha. And that morning, Elisha's servant wakes up, and he goes outside, and the Bible says that he sees that they are surrounded by the enemy. The whole dwelling place is surrounded by the enemy. He takes a 360-degree look around, and he finds out there's not a gap where the enemy is not planted. We are totally surrounded by the enemy. And beloved, I believe that this can represent times in our life where we just feel so surrounded by our problems. It represents those times in our life where no matter where I turn, there's a problem on every side. In every area of my life, I'm experiencing some kind of problem. I'm just so surrounded by my problems. You know, if I turn this way in my ministerial life, in my place of ministry, I see problems. If I turn this way, toward my relationship with my children, I can see problems in relationships with my kids. If I turn this way in my own personal life, I can see problems in my own personal life. No matter where I turn, whatever area of life I look at, there's a problem there. I'm just totally hemmed in by my problems, by my troubles, by my trials. They're on every side. And going back to the story, the servant of Elisha is so overwhelmed by the greatness of the enemy. He's so overwhelmed that they are surrounded on every side in absolute despair. He throws up his hands and he asks a question. Look with me at verse 15 at his question. And the servant said, "Alas, my master." He said, "What shall we do?" So he's looking at all these problems and in absolute despair and fear, he says to Elisha, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And can I just tell you, listen, you can exhaust all your strength on that one question alone. You can absolutely wear yourself out on that question alone. How am I going to fix all these problems? How am I going to find a solution to this problem and solution to this problem? And how am I going to fix this problem? And I'm telling you, you can absolutely wear yourself out trying to figure out how am I going to fix all my problems. Have you ever been there? It's not one problem. It's all kinds of problems. And I'm worn to a frazzle because I'm sitting here trying to figure out, how am I going to fix all my problems? How am I going to fix this problem? How am I going to fix this problem? How am I going to fix this problem? And you've absolutely exhausted yourself trying to figure out, what am I going to do? But beloved, God wants to envision our hearts with a great truth this morning. Look with me at verse 17. Start with verse 16. Elijah said, "Don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "Oh, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and the chariots of fire all around Elisha. So suddenly, Elisha prays for him and says, "Lord, I know he feels so surrounded by the enemy, but would you truly open his eyes to see?" So God says, "Okay, we can't do it by faith. I'll just have to do it by sight. He won't believe me by faith. Well, I just have to do it by sight. That's my mercy." So he opens his physical eyes, and when his eyes are open, he suddenly sees, man, all around the enemy is the glory of God and the power of God and the presence of God and the flaming fire of God. And a revelation comes into this young man's heart. The revelation is simply this: wow. Wow, my enemy don't have me surrounded. God has my enemy surrounded. My adversities don't have me surrounded. God has my adversities surrounded. He has absolutely surrounded my enemy and my adversities with his presence, with his power, with his army, with his glory. He has the enemy surrounded. And this is a truth that God wants to envision our hearts with. I may be facing many problems. I may have adversity on every side, but my problems don't have me surrounded. God has my problems surrounded. My adversities don't have me hemmed in. God has my adversities hemmed in. And it's a lot bigger. God is a lot bigger than it is. Amen. Very simple truth. But it's something the Lord wants us to capture this morning. Your problems do not have you surrounded. I have your problems surrounded. I have your adversity surrounded. But my presence, my glory. So then what do we do now? Okay, Lord, you showed us in your word that I'm not surrounded by my problems. My problems are surrounded by the glory and greatness of my God. So what do I do now? And I feel like the Lord just saying this morning, what do you do now? Just be still and know that I'm God. Just be still and know that I'm God. Now capture this. I feel the Lord saying, stop wearing yourself out trying to figure out what you're going to do. Stop wearing yourself out trying to figure out how you're going to fix all your problems. You know, going back to the servant. Master, what are we going to do? Be still and know that I'm God. Quit wearing yourself out trying to fix all your problems. Quit wearing yourself out trying to figure out how you're going to fix all your problems. Listen, in places that you need wisdom, I'll give you wisdom when you need it. Just trust me. My name's faithful and true. If you need wisdom, ask, says James, and I'll give it in abundance. The Lord is saying, will you just quit wearing yourself out, trying to figure out all your problems, and just know that your faithful God is with you. You know, I just feel there are some people here this morning who are just very tired. And you're very spiritually worn out. Because you've been trying to figure out how to fix all your problems. And the Lord is saying to you very lovingly, give it to me and rest. Give it to me and rest. Would you just give it to me and trust that I'm going to work in them and I'm going to work through them. And ultimately all things are going to work together for your good. Can you just rest in my faithfulness this morning? Quit laying your head on the pillow at night trying to figure out how you're going to fix this problem and that problem. And just finally release it to me and say, God, I have no control here. I have no power to control this. I have no power to make this work out the way I want it to work out. So I'm just going to release it to you. And just trust that you are my faithful God. And you will work it out. And in places where I need wisdom, you will bring wisdom. In places where I need the breakthrough, you will bring the breakthrough. God, you are in control. Now I want to end with one scripture, and then I'll be done. Matthew chapter 8. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8. Look with me at verse 23. It says, and when Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm of sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But Jesus was asleep. So here they are in a storm. A truly big storm, and the boat is filling up with water, and the Bible says that Jesus was asleep. And the question becomes, why could Jesus sleep when they're in a storm and the boat is filling up with water? And beloved, here's the answer. Why could Jesus sleep? Because he was resting in the sovereignty of God. He was resting in the sovereignty of his Father. You see, Jesus knew that his destiny wasn't to die in a storm. He knew his destiny was not to drown in a storm. That's not his destiny. So, in a storm, out of a storm, he rested in the sovereignty of his Father. That everything that's happening in my life, everything going on in my life, you know, God is in control. From beginning to end, he knows where my course starts and stops. He knows where I began this walk and he knows where I'm going to finish this walk. And all points in between, he's in control. So even in storms with boats filling up with water, I can sleep. I can rest. Because my Father is in control. And beloved, I just want to say this morning that our destiny is not to drown in our sea of troubles and trials. Our destiny is not to be swallowed up by all of our problems and consumed by all of our problems. That's not our destiny. Our destiny is to continually see God's faithfulness go forth in our lives and grow more and more in our faith. Our destiny is through all the storms and battles and problems, our destiny is to continually see the faithfulness of God's character and become great people of faith in God's unfailing faithfulness. Why can you rest in your storm? Why can I rest in my storm? Because it is not our destiny to drown in our sea of problems. And it is not our destiny to sink and be swallowed up and consumed by all the adversities that face our life. No, it's our destiny to become great men and women of God. It's our destiny to become great people of faith. Because in the storms, when the storm is all said and done, the only thing that we're going to see is His faithfulness. God was faithful. And the Lord, more and more, I'm just convinced, the longer I walk with God, the more I am just convinced He wants His people to walk in His peace and in His rest in spite of a problem-filled, trouble-filled world. Amen. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Beloved, just hear my heart this morning. I know sometimes when I become impassioned about things, I might can come off a little, what you'd call, curt. But I'm not curt. I'm just passionate. I love God, and I love His people, and I love this church. And I just really want you to hear what the Lord is saying this morning. He's saying, I'm your God. I'm oh so faithful. And you can rest in my faithfulness in spite of the storms. That even though the storm may be raging at surface level, in the deep places in your heart, there can be peace, there can be tranquility, there can be rest. Because I am your faithful God. Amen. So, I'm going to give an altar call this morning. And my altar call is simply this. Pastor Tim, I do sense there are places in my life where I just need to let go. I just need to let go of control. That's what I'm hearing in my heart. There are just problems that I'm facing and situations going on in my life that I've been trying to make. I've been trying to fix them. I've been trying to make them work out the way that I want them to work out. And things are not changing. Things may only be getting worse. And you know what? I just need to let go of it once and for all and say, God, it's yours. I'm not going to worry myself sick about this anymore. I'm not going to try to think of ways of how to fix the problem. God, I'm just totally giving it to you. And the same rest Jesus had when He slept in the boat, I'm going to walk in that rest. God is in control. God is in control. So, Lord, I'm going to bring this to you, and I'm not going to try to hold on with it one hand. I'm just going to fully let it go and just trust God with it. Amen. If you're sensing the Lord is speaking something in your heart about something that you just need to let go of and just trust Him with, let's come to the altar and let's just give it to the Lord this morning. Come on. Lord, we just come to this altar this morning, just sensing in our heart by Your Spirit, Lord, that there are just some things that You're calling us to let go of, Lord. Father, things that we've been trying so hard to work out in our own strength and our own knowledge and understanding, God. And Lord, You're just saying this morning, these are just places where You just need to fully let go and just trust God. These are things that You have no control over. These are things that Your own wisdom, you can't fix the problem. It's so beyond Your own strength. It's so beyond Your own strength. And You just need to fully let go and trust God. I give my people an invitation to cast your cares upon me. And the reason why I give that invitation is because I care about my people. I truly care about my people. And I want to move. I want to intervene. I want to help my people. I want to do things in my power, my strength, my wisdom that You can't do in Your power, strength, and wisdom. But I can do it in the greatness of my power, in the greatness of my wisdom. And I'm just calling You to let go and just trust me. Trust me. And Father, I pray, Lord, sometimes fear can be a power in itself. But God, I pray that You just break fear over our heart so that we can just release it and just let go of it and trust You with it, God. And Father, I pray, I stand on Your word, God. I believe what Your word says, that to be anxious for nothing, but to bring it to you with prayer. And God, as we bring our problems and our trials with prayer, something very supernatural is going to happen. Something that only God can do is going to happen. Suddenly the peace of God, the rest of God, the assurance of God, the hope of God is going to fill our heart. God, that is very supernatural. That is very miraculous. It's something that God can do. But Lord, I absolutely believe it. That whatever facing, whatever problems we're facing, we can bring it to you with just a grateful heart, with thanksgiving, a grateful heart. And God, your peace can come and consume and swallow up the darkness and the fear and the worry, the anxiousness and the frustration. I truly believe that we can have a place in prayer with you that is that powerful, God. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that have come. They're just sensing an area or areas that, God, you're saying, you just need to fully let go of this and trust me with this. I pray, God, that as they have come and they have released things into your hands, Lord, I'm praying now your peace would come and fill their heart. Your assurance would come and fill their heart. That, God, you are their faithful God. And you are working in their behalf. God, you are working in their behalf. I pray it, God, with all my heart, Lord. And Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that we weren't made to bear our burdens alone and carry our burdens alone. And God, you said, now cast them to me. Give them to me. They're not too big for me. They're not too hard for me. They're not too heavy for me. Cast them upon me and watch what I'm going to do. Lord, I thank you for that, God. I just give you glory, God, that you are our helper. God, on almost every page of the Bible, you're helping somebody. God, if it's not Adam, then it's Abraham. If it's not Abraham, then it's Isaac. If it's not Isaac, it's Jacob. And we go through page after page of how you just come and so miraculously help your people. That is the faithfulness of our God. You are our helper. And I thank you this morning. Beloved, let's stand this morning and we're going to close in prayer. If you want to stay around the altar a little longer, please feel free to do that. If the presence of the Lord is just ministering to your heart, please feel free to stay longer. Father, I thank you for this service, God. I thank you that your hand has been upon this service. God, I thank you that during the worship, Holy Spirit, you came and you moved in hearts. You strengthen hearts. You encourage hearts. God, Lord, I just thank you for the ministry that you've blessed us with in worship here today. God, it is truly a supernatural ministry where the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. And God, I thank you for your word today, God. God, I thank you, Lord, that there is a peace that we can walk with God even in a problem-filled, trouble-filled world, God. That, God, you've overcome. God, you said in this world you have many problems, but be of good courage. Arm yourself with a courageous heart. I've overcome the world. There's no adversity I haven't overcome. There's no problem I haven't overcome. And as you walk through the fires and the floods, you can walk in the peace of my presence because this overcoming faithful God is with you. I am your Father, and you are my children. And though a mother may forsake her children, I could never forsake my people because you're written on the palm of my hands. Father, I thank you, God. Lord, let hearts walk out, strengthen in the faithfulness of our God today, God. And let burdens be lifted today. Let us feel those burdens lifted off of our hearts, God. Because, Lord, we have given them over to you. Those things in our heart we sense you're saying, would you just let it go? God, we've given it over to you, God. Now let your people walk out in peace this morning, Lord. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness. And we just give you glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.